Okay, today is Wednesday, March the 5th, third day of the month of Adar Bet. This is the women's chumashir with the end of Parashas Bereishis, Bereishit Perek Vav. Okay, Rabotai. We are in Bereishit Perek Vav, at the very end of Parashat Bereishit, Bereishit Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. So the Torah had described what the Bnei Elohim and the Nephilim are doing, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes what his reaction to this is. I'll read the 3-4 psukim and then see how Parshanim interpret this. There are a couple of very important philosophical issues. One that the Ramban alerts us to, he says it's a secret, I won't reveal it, but we'll try to reveal it anyhow. So we're on Bereshit Perek Vav Pasukei. Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'ata adam ba'aretz. God had noticed that the inappropriate behavior of man on earth has greatly multiplied. V'chol yetzer machshivot libo, and all of man's desires and thoughts, rak ra kol hayom, are only bad all day. Wow. V'chol yetzer machshivot libo, rak ra kol hayom. Every thought which a person may have had are only for what? For doing evil. That's an incredible statement. An incredible statement. To say that about a society. That not one ounce of decency can be found. Rak ra kol hayom. Vayinachem Hashem ki asa et ha'adam ba'aretz. I'm going to translate it one way. Rashi will offer to it. God regretted having created man. Vayit atzev el libo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very sad. I'm reading it one way. There will be several interpretations. Just reading it one way. Vayomer Hashem. Emche et ha'adam asher barati mi'al pnei ha'adama. I'm going to wipe out man, which I have created from this earth. Me'adam ad behema, from man to animal. Ad remes, little creeps, buggies. Ba'adof ha'shamayim. Ki nichamti ki asitim. I have regretted having created them. But v'noach matzachein b'enei Hashem. Noach found favor in God's eyes, and he will survive. That's the simple reading of the pasuk itself. So as we always do, we will start with Rashi, and see how Rashi interprets the phrase, Vayar Hashem. Rashi doesn't really comment on Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'ata adam. So let's start with somebody else, and then see how Rashi proceeds to interpret Vayinachem Hashem. Take a look at the first page, which I distributed for you. On the bottom of the right-hand side, you have Sfarno's comment. The text says that God noticed that man, his inclination to engage in inappropriate behavior, had really multiplied. Ki rabba, says Sfarno, bottom of the first, on page one that I distributed. Ein leharher velomar. One should not raise the following question. Ho'il v'hakol galui lefanav. Since God knows everything, what's going to happen? Eich birao lachato. How did he create man knowing full well that what? He's going to sin. So Chizkuni will give you the answer, the standard correct answer, which we've mentioned previously. And he says, don't ask that question. Why not? Ela hare ein yirat shamayim bidei shamayim. That's the only thing that God doesn't control. Ein yirat shamayim bidei shamayim. So he is saying something very powerful. Very powerful. Namely, that God indeed does not either know or certainly not control, but perhaps even know what man is going to decide. So if you wanted to assume that God's knowledge means that something has to happen, God's knowledge, if he knows that it's going to happen, it must eventually happen, this is the only exception to the rule. He might know that man will act inappropriately, but he has chosen not to mandate that what he thinks is going to happen. Because God has determined that he will not dictate and determine who is good and who is bad. We, and we alone, make that decision. So God's awareness of the fact that it will happen is not responsible for the event unfolding. Everything else says, is Chizkuni is willing to acknowledge, that God, knowing about it, automatically determines that it's going to happen. Automatically. So if, for example, God foresees that there is going to be a volcano, he sees that it's going to happen. Rest assured, it's guaranteed to happen. If he sees there's going to be a flood, rest assured that flood is going to happen. Because it is impossible for God to see something and not have it act upon it, because what he sees represents the absolute truth. There's only one notable exception, says Chizkuni, and it can be seen in two ways. A, that he knows what the outcome will be. He knows that man will transgress and it will be Rabba Ra'at Ha'adam Ba'aretz. But God has chosen not to make sure that his will does not necessarily mean it's going to unfold. Because we have learned, what parsha are we learning, ladies and ladies? Bereshit. So how did the world get created? Because he willed it to get created. He said it's going to happen. Vayomer Elohim, yehi or. That's it. He said it's going to happen. It happens. So if God says man is going to transgress, in theory the question is, you have to transgress because God can't dictate, say something, or think something that is not going to happen. That would be somewhat of a flaw in his thinking ability, that he said something that's not going to happen. So either he programs this, that this is an exception to the rule, or perhaps even more strikingly, God does not know what man is going to decide. Because he, God, has said, this is totally in human hands. So therefore, you can't ask the question, how could he have created man, knowing that 10 generations down the road, he's going to be so corrupt, that what will he decide to do? To destroy them. Don't ask that question. Don't ask that question. How do I know that God has left this virtue to us? And he cites the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elohecha shoel miyimach? What does God demand of you? And he doesn't quote the whole pasuk, but it is, ki im liyira'oti. Just to fear me. That's all he asks from you. In fact, the Gemara has a little play on it. Moshe says, that's what you said. That's a little claiming type. What is the Bnei Shalom asking for you? That's it. That's what you call. That's it. That's what you call a little nothing. That's all he's asking from you. Liroti. Obviously, that's a major challenge. But that pasuk seems to indicate. Then he quotes two others that choice of good, bad happens to be ours. Happens to be ours. That's point number one. Point number two, if you look on the left side of the page, Radak elaborates and answers and says the following. If you remember correctly, God had said, Vahayu Yamav Me'av Esrim Shana. Man's life will be 120 years. There were two interpretations. Does that mean that in general, the way the Pasuk read, Lo Yadon Ruchi Ba'adam, my spirit will no longer live within man for 800 years or 600 years. It's only 120. That was one possibility. But a second possibility was, lo yodol ruchi, I'm not going to extend the decision more than what? More than 120 years. That the pasuk of 120 is not commenting how long man is going to live. It's only saying, how many years has God decided He will give man a chance to what? To mend his and her way so that he will change his mind and not destroy the world. That was a second pshat. That's the pshat that Radak happens to favor. Nay, I will read it inside. It's not that God had made a decision that mankind shall not live more than 120 years. That was one interpretation. It's the more popular interpretation. That God says, V'hayu yamav me'av esrim shani, only live 120. Says Radak, that's not the pshat of the pasuk. The pshat of the pasuk is that God has decided that He will not make His decision for another 120 years. Lo yodon ruchi ba'adam. My decision, my final judgment about man will not be made right now. What will it be? V'hayu yamav me'av esrim shana. After 120 years, I will make that decision. Says the Radak. The 120 years are up. Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'at ha'adam ba'aretz. Let's read it inside. Kevon shehigia haketz shenatan lahem me'im ve'esrim shana. Once the end came, the deadline came. God set up a deadline of 120 years. Well, that deadline had arrived. Ra'ah ki lo heitivu ma'asehem. He noticed that what? That their behavior had not improved. Avol heireu otam. They were terrible for what? During those 120 years. Now here comes another phrase subject to debate. V'chol yom haya kasheh mechavero. Oh, that's the simple. That the simple interpretation is that every day they were worse. Not only were you bad today, tomorrow even worse. After that, even more worse. Everyone. Anybody want to suggest an alternate? Because what word there might lead us to what? No, that means just to the previous day. What word would indicate that I can offer an alternate reading? V'chol yom haya kasha mechavero, not in terms of their behavior, but something about God. Something about a...
God cannot tolerate watching the journey of this
every day. I'm going to use a word in the Yiddish because there's no other word as the equivalent. Es ekelt him. It bothers him. It's every day it's bothering him even more. Every single day HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting even more annoyed. Why is he getting annoyed? Because they're not fixed and time is running out. So when you give somebody a deadline and hope that what? Things are going to change, as what? As it continues the momentum, you start getting even more frustrated. What's going on here? Time is running out. So some believe, and I happen to believe, and the word kasheh is the word which gives it away, that it's not referring to that they're worse. You know, what word would he have used to say that they acted inappropriately, more inappropriately every day? They acted in a more inappropriate way. No, kasheh. It was hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to digest this, to watch them every single day. I give them not an opportunity and another day. And that says something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of how badly he is feeling about this decision that he is about to make. And that's a very powerful statement. And I want you to keep it in the back of your mind for a couple of minutes, because until we see that, how the Ramban will introduce something on the next pasuk in a second. However, comments Radak on the phrase V'chol Yetzer Machshivot Libo Rak Ra Kol Hayom. And I want you to just compare this for a second. Hold on a second. To Jews, right after the Mabul. Yes. That is correct. Please check as for just for comparison purposes to chapter 8, verse 21. Chapter 8, verse 21. There is a very similar phrase that we just read here, which is after the Mabul, and perhaps somebody will be able to say something, and then we'll read the Radak's comment on it, and comment. Right, correct. So what difference, what slight but critical differences appears between the two versions?
In the second one, God seems to have accepted that man's spirit is to do evil, and he'll
but look carefully at the way the two phrases are phrased, and you will see that there's a difference.
There was an effort on the part of Noah by building a fact. He did something. And
look at the phrase. In the first one, it's
first. The last one is second. Also, it's the last one. Instead of kol hayom, it's meaning
you say the kol yetz.
Does it? The Chol Yetz. What else does it say in our pasuk that it doesn't say there? Rak Ra. Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim. It says the Yetzer. What does it say in Parshat Noah? The Chol Yetzer. What? Lei Adam. Does it say the Chol Yetzer? Does it say Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim? And when? Hold on a second. When is that pasuk recorded? And God says, "I will never curse man again." So there are two ways to look at it. One, again, we're comparing the two phrases. In Bereshit, prior to the Mabul, man is fully corrupt. Kol Yetzer Machshavot Libo Rak Ra Kol Hayom. I cannot find an ounce of decency in this man. Not one ounce of decency. What happens after the flood? So God says, I'm never going to destroy the whole world. Why? Ki Yetzer Lei Ha'adam Ra Minu Ra. Why will I not destroy the whole world? So, in the differences, what will have happened after the Chet HaMabul, after the punishment, after the Dharma, what's going to happen to man? What's going to happen to man? Why will God say, "I promise you, I'm never going to destroy"? Because why? Because Yetzer Lei Ha'adam Ra Minu Ra. That's a reason not to destroy. That's the reason not to curse them, but not because I see that man's Yetzer is all bad. It's bad. But where is the difference? It's not all bad. In other words, two ways to interpret it. Namely, that before the Mabul, every ounce of mankind has been corrupt. Corrupt. God cannot find one excuse to save mankind. He can't find it. The greatest defense attorney in the history of the world cannot find a defense to save mankind. After the Mabul, one can say that man will have learned his and her lesson, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that what's going to happen as a result of they learned their lesson. They will no longer be Rak Ra Kol Hayom. It will not be V'chol Yetzer Machshavot Libo Karoyom. I know, I can see what's going to happen. Namely, I am willing to predict going forward that as I assess every single generation, there will always be some force, some person, some group that is worthy of saving what? The entire world. That's one possibility.
The difference is really in God. The difference is in God that there's more rachamim in the second verse.
But why is it more? No, that's going to be my second interpretation. What's the first interpretation? Not that this God's in rachamim. He will notice that there is going to be a worthy person or group of people for whom he will decide, lo osif lekalel et adam. Because I will be able to find and identify. As opposed to right now, where we are right now, God says, I can't find not one decent soldier. Not one. Therefore, everybody's got to go. Now, so those who are, could be saying that what might happen, I will be able to find some core value in society. Hence, I can make a promise, lo osif lekalel. Because it doesn't say v'chol and it doesn't say ra, and it's giving an excuse why lo osif lekalel. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say not? Because he's bad. That's a good reason not to curse. Because he's not all bad. He's not as bad as I described him in Parshas Bereishis before the flood.
Or the plural, or the many.
The many. Just one more second. Alternative number two is that in effect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change the very character of man.
He's going to change it?
He's going to change the very character. That whereas up until now, he allowed a human being to be what? Totally corrupt. After the chait of the, after the mabul, God is never going to allow a person to be totally corrupt. Never going to allow it. And hence, if there is a change in human personality, it will be there's a change in human personality. Therefore, there will no longer be a situation akin to what's happening right now.
Anybody or
either anybody or a group of people.
But there were people who were totally corrupt in history.
I'm not saying no, but there were enough in history who were not in any time period to enable God to make a decision. I am not destroying the whole world. Yeah.
Good.
That's why I offer a second interpretation. Because that second interpretation smacks in the face of that which we just said 5 minutes ago. God doesn't play a role in determining who's good and who's bad. And therefore, it could have been that in future generations, there'll be a generation just as corrupt as this one. Yeah?
The whole discussion opens the question of whether God himself learns and evolves. Because that's what option one seems to be. Like a parent comes to understand his child.
That's correct. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the rent. That's very, very profound. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, can't you say that man is created in the image of God?
Right.
So he has attributes that God, in other words, has some attributes of humans as well. Because humans are created in the image of God. So
no doubt. No doubt. So in light, yeah. I didn't say what the ratio happens to be. I don't know what the ratio is. I don't know. Because even in the time of history, even when there is incredible disregard for humanity, there were people whose soul had not been sold to the devil. There were people. It wasn't everybody. Yeah.
Do we believe, that Hashem provides every single individual with Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Ra?
Good. So here, now let's read it inside. Let's read it inside. V'zehu she'amar rak ra kol hayom. Line 3 of the Radak, page 1, left-hand column, line 3, which I bracketed. V'chol Yetzer mishnei yitzarim she'yesh b'libo. From the two inclinations which every person has, echad tov ve'echad ra, kulo haya lira velo haya tov bahem. Kulo haya lira velo haya tov bahem. Namely, Even a person who by nature is what? Has an inclination to be good. In this particular case, even those who normally have an inclination to follow the Yetzer HaTov, what happened? In this particular case, they went off the derech and followed their Yetzer Hara. V'nikra'at ta'avat machshivot halev Yetzer. And the desire to follow the evil thoughts of one's heart, that is called Yetzer Machshavot. Lefi shehalev yotzer upoel bilibo ha'inyanim. Hein letov v'hein lera lehotziam lidei ma'aseh. It is the heart that either gives guidance and direction to do something good or bad, and here everybody's inclination. We had a Yetzer HaTov. But that Yetzer HaTov, whatever that means, the inclination to do good and to be kind-hearted and to be caring and to be honest and decent was so overwhelmed that even such people were engaged in Ra this time as well. Yes.
But since Hashem gave this to us, he must have known that we could go wrong.
We already answered that question. He doesn't control those things. He does not control those things. So let's move on to the next pasuk.
Was
and
this,
I.
Was
yeah.
Was something that the release of din created in?
Good. You're touching upon something, and I'm going to ask you to look at two things. And you will identify the Ramban's comment. Everybody knows that traditionally the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Midat HaRachamim. Everybody knows that. Everybody also knows which name of God is the Midat HaDin? Good. Good. So now, Ramban will tell us to look at a pasuk which we say in the middle of Tfilot Zichronot on Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of Atah Zocher Ma'asei Olam, it is chapter 8, verse 1. Not a bar mitzvah, that's Zichronot. Good. This is after the flood comes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers Noach. Don't look! Is that an act of compassion or an act of judgment? Judgment? That he's remembering Noach and he spares him for the flood, that's an act of judgment? It's a compassion. So now I ask you to think of what's percolating in the Ramban's mind. Look at our psukim. Look at our psukim. Reread again. Pasuk Perek Vav. Our psukim. Hey through Chet. And then, in light of that pasuk, and tell me what's going to be running through the holy Ramban's mind. Say it. It's the reverse of the names of Akhenaten. Every time that we discuss God's decision to destroy man here, it should have said Vayomer Elohim. Why? Because he's operating Midas Hadin. You are corrupt. You are rak kol hayom. Therefore, what decision do you deserve? You deserve to die. And Noah, being of that generation, you know, there are many innocent tzaddikim who died at a time when what?
When there were others
who were terrible, who happened to have been swept along. We know that in history too tragically. So if anything, what should it have said when God decided to spare Noah? Vayizkor Hashem. Et Noach, et kol achaya, ve kol abeima shirito bateva, vayaber lo kemashot kohamayir. Good.
But wasn't it Elohim who? It said in Gereshit, it was Elohim who who is creating the world.
Correct. That's because he wanted to create the world based on Midas Hadin. We saw that in the first Rashi. Yes.
Maybe he was having wrath on him by destroying the earth.
Okay. So now turn to page 2 for a second.
This is like the reverse of the creation. That's why.
Take a look at the Pasuk. It's on the phrase in Pasuk Vav, Vayinochem Hashem ki asa et hadam ba'aretz vayitatzev alibo. I underlined, I'm going to do the beginning of the Ramban a little later. I underlined on the right hand side of the page, on page 2, where it says, Vehu sod gadol lo nitein lehikatev. There is a powerful secret here, and I can't write it. Vahayodo, and those who understand it, Yitbonein will investigate and look at Lemasha Amar Bekan Shem HaMiyuchad. Will now come to the recognition that what name is employed? Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Shem HaMiyuchad, the designated name of God. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of God. We don't read it the way it's sounded. We read Yud Kei Vav Kei as if it was written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Adonai. That's how we read it. But that's not the way it says it. And according to tradition, this name of Yud Kei Vav Kei has a way of being sounded as if it had 72 letters. That's called the Shem HaMiforash. Shem HaMiforash. The explained name. The name of God that will explain what Yud Kei Vav Kei really means. The Shem HaMiforash was used in the Beit HaMikdash by the Kohanim during certain aspects of the Avodah. Ubekol HaParsha. The Inyan HaMabul, Shem Elohim. And in the entire Parsha here, and in the Mabul especially, Vayiskar Elohim et Noach, suddenly it's Midat Elohim. So I'm telling you there's something here, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. This is not the first nor the last time that the Rambam does something like this. The Ramban many a times says, I have something that I know al derech ha'emet, which represents, in his opinion, Kabbalah, and I'm not going to share it with anybody. Because it's too complex, I don't want the masses to know about it, and so he doesn't tell us. So now people have to speculate what's running through the Ramban's mind. So I open up the floor for 2 minutes, tell me why the name of Rachamim will be requoted as God decides his entire decision. Vayar Hashem ki rabarad. Vayinachem Hashem. God, who is the Midat HaRachamim, regrets having what? Created man. Vayomer Hashem. Emche. God, the merciful one, says, I will wipe out this world. And when it comes to Noah, when he spares him, he says, Vayisko lehem midas hadin. What would you like to suggest? Whatever you're going to say can't be wrong, because we don't know if it's wrong or right. Yes?
I'm not going to address the part of Noah, that by saying Elohim, if you said Rachamim with Noah, then it would diminish his greatness. Because then it's an easier, lighter version of Hashem.
It would diminish his greatness. If you said Rachamim. In other words, he perhaps should have been included in what would happen. Okay? We can justify that very easily, why he could have been included in what happened.
Can Rachamim with some name is comforted?
Yeah, that's correct.
So
they're gonna be two
Hashem
but what Vayar Hashem Vayomer Hashem Emche et Adam. The next trait.
But by doing that, Hashem is comforted, and therefore he can give Rachamim to whoever follows. And that's why it can be...
No, but why? What's the Rachamim if he's saying, Emche et ha'adam, I'm going to wipe out man? What's the Rachamim?
He's saying the follow-up.
But that's not what he's saying here. Yeah.
Develop
That he's what?
He's got to be, now he's coming to prove. He has to say, you know, has to be, you got to.
Okay. We already saw the entry of Midas HaRachamim in Perek Bet, when it said, Eile Todot HaShavarim, Biyom Asot Hashem Elohim Shemayim Va'aretz. So Rashi asked the question, why does it say in Bereshit Bet chapter 1, Pasuk 1, Biyom Asot Hashem Elohim? So Rashi answered, because God initially planned to have the world operate Polim Midadin. He saw it, it'll never survive. So what did he do? He introduced Rachamim right away in Perek Bet. Yeah. Good. That has been echoed by many.
Repeat it, please.
Yes. That when man is guilty, who really is assigned the task of eliminating evil from this world? Who is assigned the task of eliminating evil from this world? Who? Man is. That's correct. One of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach is... What's the last one? Dinin. Correct. They have a responsibility to judge themselves. And so the suggestion on the floor is, and it's a very accurate one because many have said that, that it's always considered a more merciful act by God to be punished by Him than to whom be punished by whom? By man. So even is, yes, that's correct. We say this, if you say Tachanun in the morning after Shmon Esrei, Vayomer David El God, Tsar Li Me'od, I'm in a lot of trouble. Niplar B'yad Hashem, I'd rather fall or be judged by the hand of God. U'b'yad Adam Alepoy, I don't want to be judged or fall by the hand of man. That's correct. So, even as God destroys mankind, mankind recognizes it is better to be destroyed by whom? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than what? That's correct. Yeah, so then give me the flip side as well. Why is Elohim mentioned by Yisrael then as Noah? Why? Okay, but I'm also looking for something a little critical of Noah. I'm looking a little critical of Noah. Ah, exactly. Something that the Midrash and many have drilled home. Please open up to Bereshit, chapter 6, chapter 7, verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, Bo ata b'cho beitcha l'teva, Ki otcha ra'iti tzadik l'fanai b'dor hazeh. Give me two readings of that phrase. Read it with one inflection, and another with another inflection. One will be incredibly positive, one will be terribly damning. So read it. Ki otcha ra'iti tzadik l'fanai. What is that? Oh, you're a great tzaddik. You're a great tzaddik. And therefore, I'm going to save you. Bo atah l'teva. Then what else? How do you read it another way? Ki otcha ra'iti. You're a great tzaddik. But what did you not have? You for yourself, you're a great tzaddik. But what did you not have any ability to do? Or interest? You can't change one person in your generation. You're a failure, Mr. Noah. An absolute failure. And the Midrash compares Noah and Moshe to the following analogy. Noah is the captain of a teva, but he's an absentee captain. And Moshe is a captain of a ship, who is an active captain. What happens? Every time that Am Yisrael are sentenced to death, what does Moshe do? He tells the Bani Shalom, you dare not do that. You dare not do that. He argues with them, left and right.
after the Chayka Ega, after the Chayka Marama. Sometimes he's less successful than other times, but he argues. Not one word out of Noah recorded in the text or in the Midrash that he opened up his mouth to serve as a defense attorney for the people who were about to be destroyed. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Noah, he's still a little angry at him. Yes, Vayizkar Elohim et Noah. But exactly. You know what? Maybe based Al Pidin, Noah also should be, he should not be saved. Just give me one more sec. We will see, when we see Parshat Noah, that there is a debate in the Midrash as to how to interpret the phrase Tzohar Ta'aseh La'Teva. Tzohar Ta'aseh La'Teva. What are the two interpretations of the Tzohar? It's a fine. Either it was a window or a precious stone. Good. Happens to be a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. The same machloikis between Rav and Shmuel reads the opening pasuk of Parshas Noah in the very famous two ways which Rashi interprets it. Yesh shidorshim oto l'shvach, v'yesh shidorshim oto lignai. Eile toldot Noah. Noah ish tzadik, tamim haya bidorotav. Every kid learning Chumash knows this Rashi. Bidorotav. In his generation, it was a grace of tzadik. Ilu haya bidorosh el Abraham, had Noah lived in Abraham, lo haya nechshavu klum, he'd be worthless. Or, that's the gagnah. Or, how do you translate it in l'shvach? How? Can you imagine how great he would have been had he had some support? But he's living with the Dor HaMabul. Oh, the Dor HaMabul. Of course he's a great person. What tempted Chazal to look at him negatively? Why would you even want to look at him in a negative fashion? Because he had no impact on anybody else. So the two opinions in the Midrash, whether Noah is to be viewed as what? Favorable or unfavorable, and the debate whether or not he has a window or a skylight or a special precious gem, they're one and the same. If Noah is not such a gracious subject, because he had no impact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to open up that, I want you to have a window. Why do I want you to have a window? Because I want you to see what's happening, because you did nothing. I want you to see what's happening to the rest of the world because you did absolutely nothing. And if it's so hard, if there was no window. But what provided the light? A precious gem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Noah, I don't hold you responsible at all. In fact, I am shocked that you became a tzaddik. Under the generation in which you're living, you're a grace of tzaddik. You don't have to look outside to see what's happening, because you're lucky. I'm impressed with you. You didn't get swept along with the tide, so I'm not going to have to show you that. So the fact, says the Ramban, soy gadol, that here in relationship to the destruction of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the midah of rachamim. Because perhaps it's because it's better to be destroyed by a HaKadosh Baruch Hu than it is to be punished by man. And he uses Elohim, Midat Hadin, by Noah, based on the fact that maybe he deserved to be judged harshly. Yes, I'm saving him, but he doesn't really deserve it. Yes.
In the same vein, didn't we say with Hanoch, Kila Kafoto Elohim, God took him at a point where he was not yet as bad as he was going to be?
That is correct.
Maybe that would be Rachamim, to destroy people before they had reached the lowest depth of corruption.
Could be. That would be a similar thought. Yeah.
I don't see anything in the text that indicates that man transformed or man changed. The only thing that seems to change is the way Hashem is thinking, but you don't see anything that that we did.
Yes, it does say, we pointed out that in Bereshit chapter 8, when God says, I take an oath, I will never curse and destroy man again, he says, why? Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu rav. I will not destroy because man is bad. Does that make any sense? I will not destroy because man is bad?
Because God.
It means I will not destroy because man is not as bad as he used to be.
But it doesn't say anything that man did to transform himself, to change.
Well,
God has to,
we don't know. But the text might be saying that man may have learned his lesson from the Mabul. And that God is saying, in the future, I know that there will not be a generation where every single person in society is corrupt. Hence, I can make this promise right now. Lo osif od lekaleh
l'ta'adam. But then Hashem is not giving us bechira.
Okay, so that's... Okay, that's the old question. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Midrash, what Midrash does say that he told them, they ignored him, they tried to stop him, and but the text doesn't say that. Yeah. Right.
So there's a kind of mercy intended in the struggle. If you think of someone critically ill, and there's a kind of punishment in demanding that the struggle continue. And really, Noah is going to pay a price for the struggle he didn't do then.
Excellent. We will see that there was a possibility that Noah had decided it's not worth the struggle, and that he's planning to stay in the Teva the rest of his life and just die, end of discussion.
Yes.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell him, same in Ateva.
Yeah.
Has to tell him.
Yes.
Right. Well, we'll see. We'll get at it. It's a very good point. As usual, you're profound. Yes. Yes.
The other way of looking at it is, until now, we've been talking, everyone was man-centric. But if you look at it from God-centric point of view, maybe this is the point where God decides kindness is a recreation of the world again and continuing the humankind experiment, where you could have just said, rah, rah, that's it, stop the whole thing. And then, I don't know.
Good. That's a very interesting point.
Yeah.
There's an act of chesed that God decides I'm destroying, but what's he going to do? He decides this very moment, I'm going to continue. Therefore, how do I know? Because for Noah, what's the chen benash? Very nice point. Very good point. That in the act of destruction, God had already decided it's not the end of the world. I'm going to give the world a second chance. And he didn't have to. Maybe that's what the Ramban has in mind. Again, whatever you say can't be wrong. Because the Ramban will tell us what's wrong through his mind. So whatever we say is as legitimate as anything he may have thought about, but he didn't tell us what he thought. He didn't tell us what he thought.
I'd like to make a point about Noah. I think several similar situations, it's much more difficult to be a good person and righteous when everyone around you is trying to draw you in. Something else.
Yeah, that's the way it looks at positive. That's how it looks at Noah positively. Correct.
Correct.
That's correct. That is correct. That is correct. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here. We'll continue next week. We're going into Rashi himself, as well as Ibn Ezra, Radak, and a couple of others on these critical psukim.
Thank you.
Welcome.